What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to another edition of 26 Degrees of Miami Hurricanes podcast, brought to you by the good folks over at the Roll Up Network. I am your host with the most, your boy Larian, man, and here joined with me by my two co-hosts as usual, my man Meezy. Meezy, what's up?
Man, what's up, man? Meezy on the mic. I'm here, we ready to go.
No doubt. And as always, our man in the field, the foot soldier himself, Street General X, what's good, baby?
Not much, man. Just trying to enjoy this Wednesday. Kind of rough weather down here. It's been raining on and off, so it's, you know, it is what it is.
Tucked off, man. That's what it is, man. Before we get rolling, just want to remind everybody listening, if y'all want to tap in, we have voicemail. And the voicemail number is 904. Where the hell's my notes? Oh, 549-9263. You can leave, you know, if you just want to just get something off without necessarily interacting with us. If you don't have the time, maybe you can't catch it when we're recording, hit us up like that. Or we got 26degreespod@gmail.com. And obviously the DMs and whatnot. So whichever way works best for you, man. We appreciate it. Plan on doing making this a show, man, for the people, by the people. So your interaction is everything with us. It's going to help it grow. And it's just like, you know, it's just family. It's family business. So come talk to the family, man. Anyways, that out the way, man. How was y'all boys' weekend, man? Despite the obvious.
Yeah, I mean, the weekend was good. Yeah, like he said, despite the obvious, man, we made the best out of the weekend, man. The best way we could. We made the best out of it. Watched a lot of football. Ate good, you know. That's how my weekend was. Long weekend too. Most people had Monday off, so we was chilling this weekend. And it was L's birthday, y'all. So y'all make sure y'all shout L a happy belated birthday tweet, man, on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you holler at that boy.
Appreciate it. Appreciate that. How about you, X? What, I know you was in the city. I ain't get the link with you, man. Running with the lady.
Yeah, man. It was so. It was so wild because once I got with the team, it's like I ain't had no more free time, man. From that, everybody hit me like, boy, where you at? I'm like, boy, I'm trying to let me finish with the team. And then by the time I did that, I think it was like around 5 or 6. And that was it. Like I couldn't move. I ain't had no free time. So but other than that, man, the weekend was straight. Tailgate was obviously good.
Explain to the people how like the interactions was with the team. Like what you was doing this weekend with the team, man. You all
the interaction with the team.
X is the real field general.
You say the interaction with the team or the fans?
No, the team. When you say like you got tied up dealing with the team and stuff, how that went?
Well, you know, I try to get as much info from trying to get away around the team. But yeah, you know, they man, it's rough. It's rough this shit, man. They was like, hey, you know, with COVID, man, they don't really want you around them too much during the game. So that was that part. But I got a whole lot of interaction with the fans, man, which was surprising. Like, man, I'm walking and everybody just stopping me and like, oh man, hold on. They grabbing me and I'm like, hey. I'm just a regular guy, man. Y'all ain't got to treat me like that, man. I'm just cool like y'all, man.
You're a Kane celebrity in your own right, bro. That's just what it man, is, man.
I'm going to tell you one thing about it, man. Tell you, so crazy, you know, it's a stigma about Hurricanes don't have no fans, man. One thing I say, well, when we travel, man. We go out.
We got the best fans.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why we got the best fans. Because everybody clown us for our mediocrity. But we still here. And we're going to fuss and fight and complain. But guess what we're going to do? We're going to be right back next year. We're going to be pulling up to the games. We're going to be buying the merchandise. And we really, we ain't quiet while we losing. We still talk. Because that's just what we're going to do. That's exactly what we're going to do. And we lose, but I'm back next week.
We got right.
Supremely loyal. Supremely loyal.
Man, we already talk about, we already planning the Texas A&M game right now.
Hey,
that's the
get
first
it.
Game next season, right?
I don't know if it's the first game. I think it's
I think it's like the third. Yeah, I think it's like the second or third. It's not. Yeah, it's not the Chick-fil-A kickoff. Yeah.
So
yeah. Ooh, that's gonna be a doozy too, boy. Jimbo building them a little something up over there, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I hate that Jimbo got that SEC money, boy. Because now he's my old boy.
He really is. He really is. By then, I expect us to be a better team, but it's still going to be a monster. It's going to be, I believe Jimbo going to have something real special by the time we get to that. But I expect to compete in that one too, though. So, anyways, my weekend, I was in the A myself. It was my birthday. So, my birthday was Monday, actually. So, with the game coming up and everything, and I live in Savannah, I was like, yeah, I'm going to just slide to the A, hang out for my birthday weekend. I did not go into the game just because the tickets was too high. And I was like, I even had my homeboy offer to pay because it was my birthday. I was like, dog, nah, we ain't going to spend that kind of money. So just ended up, man, hitting the city a little bit. Went out, got a nice little dinner on Friday night and whatnot. Saturday went downtown on Peachtree and all. I think we ended up someplace called Top Draft. Yeah, we was up at this spot called Top Draft. I think it's in the CNN Center. Oh, no, it was in the Omni. Yeah, we kicked it up there, watched the game. But I got so wasted because, like, I was out by, like, 5:30. So I ain't seen, like, none of the night games and everything. And, yeah, that was it, man. Sunday cooled around the city. Watched that. Watched them bums from Dope. And slid on back to the city Monday, man. We'll be back here now with you.
Let me mention something real quick, Al.
Go ahead.
About them bums from Dope. Florida State fans, if y'all listening, we still gonna wash y'all this year. We still gonna wash y'all.
A baptism.
I have not seen a fan base who lost 52-10 last year talk so much trash about losing a darn football game. That's crazy to me. That's crazy to me.
Hey, y'all, if y'all ain't listening to Same Energy Sunday yet, it's actually called No Cap Sunday now. Check that out. My energy was very, very positive when it came to dealing with them nose and laughing at them. I'm like, bro, we really are going to beat y'all people up. Do not let that Alabama thing get in your head and think you got a shot. It's not the same thing. You ain't lining up the same thing, baby.
And so, they just beating us while we down. That's all.
I mean, yeah, but they ain't play what we play. So it's like, you not comparing apples to apples, bro. You talking something crazy.
Man, after being up close to Alabama, being up close to Florida State, it's nowhere near the same atmosphere. The status, whatever you want to call it, is, man, I don't even worry about them. Like, I'm letting them have their fun, because at the end of the day, it makes it more painful when we beat them. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead, enjoy your 3-point loss, jump for joy. Y'all look better, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
They're making their own grade, man.
It's one game. You know what I'm saying? It's one game. First game of the year. Y'all know y'all come out. Y'all going to play with the spirit. We playing for Bobby Bowden. You know what I'm saying? R.I.P. Bobby Bowden. It's a lot. You know what I'm saying? Don't act like that's going to happen the whole season. We've seen right. Y'all team. Like, it ain't.
I told them people, they blew their load. Y'all happy? Y'all like, that's the best game y'all going to play all year.
They played Notre Dame close last year, too, and they still won, four, five games?
Exactly. They played Notre Dame close last year. Don't act like Notre Dame just this powerhouse where they just gonna whoop everybody.
Exactly. That's how I told myself. And what happened when we played? All right, thank you. Next. So, anyways, let's get in our team. I gave them too much energy. I might edit that out.
We gave them like
48 seconds, dog. That's too much energy, bro. I don't want to give them all that. So, anyways, all right, let's get into the real deal. What we really had to deal with this weekend. The monster that is Alabama, man. We pulled up to Atlanta. You know, we came out and we had to face, you know, Goliath. And David lost this time. The slingshot and the rock wasn't enough this time, man. So, I guess real quick, man. Mies, give me like your kind of overall view of the game in general.
All right, my overall view. When I was first watching it, I was sick. Okay. I was sick. I didn't like how the score got out of hand so fast. We did. I'm gonna keep it real. In my opinion, I feel like we did look unprepared. But I'm watching a game, y'all, right now.
And stop torturing yourself.
I'm watching the game right now, man. I do this, though. I'm watching the game right now. So after I'm watching the game, I saw some bright spots you wouldn't see during the game. You know what I'm saying? Right. I saw some bright spots I mean, the game was a game Saturday, man. We played Alabama. For the people trying to get the jokes off, we played Alabama. I mean, we played the team who beat the number two team in the nation last year by 30 points in a national championship game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the jokes is the jokes. Let them fly. But when we ready to start really talking real.
Exactly.
Y'all know what it is.
Right now, right.
Yeah, we talking real now, yeah.
So there wasn't too much to take from it when the game was live, watching it. But it's – I hate saying it, but it's Bama, man. It's Bama. I mean,
they got no shame in that. It is Bama.
They got a former head coach coaching the offensive line, for goodness sakes, man.
And the OC.
The OC is a former head coach.
You got people working for free.
Five head coaches coaching position.
Right. But yeah. You got people working there for free, bro.
It is what it is. And
former head college football coaches and NFL coaches, man, are working. Just it's the rebrand. They know what they do. They go to Bama. They get that slime off of them. You know what I'm saying? And then you're going to see Bill O'Brien coaching probably next year or 2 years. He's going to be coaching probably a college team. And that's just what they do. Bill ain't crazy. He may go back to the league. He may not enjoy the league. He kind of stern, so I don't know. But I don't think he'll like recruiting Bart. But we'll see. But, yeah, that's the car wash, bro. That's how you kind
of
felt.
The rest of the games I was watching Saturday, Bama would have did the same thing to 99.8% of them other teams who was playing Saturday.
Real rap. How was your overall?
Oklahoma win against Tulane by three.
Yeah.
Two,
by five, I think. It was five. It was 40-35.
No, not
yeah.
By two. Yeah, okay.
It was five. It was five, but yeah. Still. Yeah, it was a dog fight. But X, what was your overall feel?
And X was at the game, yo.
Man, I think you know what I got from the game was I don't take nothing from the players. I think the players playing as hard as not as hard as they could, but they played real hard. They didn't give up too much. Normally you could see like the give up instantly. It wasn't that. My take from it was the coaching. I think the coaching was very, very, very unprepared on both sides of the ball. Speaking with some Alabama people, man, around the program, they basically told me we knew exactly everything y'all was getting ready to run. So it didn't matter what y'all was doing. You know what I'm saying? We knew every blitz package Diaz was bringing. We knew every play Lashley was getting ready to run. And that's alarming. It's alarming as a fan because it's not the first time I've heard that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it speaks to their resources. And that's why, you know, we all clawing to get up there, man. I don't know how we going to get in there, but their resources are amazing. Well, go ahead.
Tell the people, if y'all don't follow X and Larry, don't follow them ASAP. But tell the people why they knew every blitz package Diaz has ran the last 5 years.
Well, yeah, Larry said, they resources. They have like maybe 40 to 50 analysts whose job is to watch each player on the team to know exactly what they do, watch every play that was played the last 5 years. You know what I'm saying? They got like that's NFL type stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like college, I really never heard college have stuff like that. But obviously Nick Saban coming from that tree of NFL coaching, he brings it to college and you see it's working, right? And it's just amazing.
NFL teams have the resources that Bama actually has, man.
They may have a cap in the NFL. I don't know. Like, I know the NCAA put a limit on, like, your on-field people, but Bama done figured out all sorts of ways to finagle around that by calling people, you know, analysts and this, that, and the other. So, yeah, they just figure out a way to pay them regardless and just have them around.
I think what they do, too, also is, like, you know, most schools, we go at it about saying we got grad assistants where you don't have to pay them as much as you would on analysts. So I think when they call them analysts, it makes it easier for them to pay. Right. Because you know, if you're a grad assistant, I don't think you can get paid but only but so much.
Right. Certain amount, right.
Bama so has had Charlie Strong as an analyst. Yeah, Charlie Strong has been an analyst at Bama. Butch Jones, former head coach at Tennessee, has been an analyst. And that's crazy. If you wrap
your head around it, most, that's crazy. Most programs, those positions are held for former players or coaches coming up, maybe like from the high school ranks or things of that nature, that's trying to elevate into that next game. That is the only program that I know of where you got guys that have been professional head coaches, either at the collegiate or NFL level, that are just doing a quick rebrand and getting the slime. Like, you know, Bill O'Brien had to get that Houston slime off of, right? Because people kind of felt like he shit the bed a little bit, kind of destroyed the team somewhat. And it was like, all right, well, he you know, he got a little stink on him right now. So he going through, he getting the wash, and he coming back out. We'll see, you know, and that's just a testament to what they running over there. Me, kind of overall, when I was getting into watching it, because like I said, when I first watched the joint, I was at the bar and everything, and I'm watching it, and I am paying attention. But by the time it got 20-0, maybe 27-0, I tapped out because I was like, bro, we ain't getting no momentum built. Like, and football is a game of momentum, and it's a game of inches. And if we're not going to push the ball, we're not going to be able to move the ball at all, then there was never going to be a chance for us to fight back in that game, and it never was. We just never had an opportunity to get back in it. When I watched it today, I actually took the time today to sit back down and rewatch the whole game, you know, sobered up and everything, just sitting down and watching it. One of my biggest takeaways was I didn't see a lot of bad football. I see some things that need to be cleaned up. I saw some play calling again that I just wasn't really happy with when it came to Lashley. I saw just an elite talent on the other side that made a team that even when we were in pretty good spots and could have made something happen, that elite talent is what pushed them right over the edge. When you got a guy like Bryce Young, who has this great escapability, well, yeah, we right there about to get the sack, but he's a small dude. He ain't not one of these big 6'3", you know, slow-footed type dudes. He's 5'11", 6', quick, athletic guy. So, and he feels it. He has great pocket presence. So he was escaping a lot of that stuff. So, yeah, my overall take was,
by the way, y'all, I saw Bryce Young play his senior year. They came to D.C. to play St. John's Prep. I went and saw him play, and when I saw him play, I said he's going to be a star. Bryce Young is legit, y'all. I'm not trying to hype Bama up or nothing like that, but
you don't have to.
Yeah, we didn't play Joe Smoak. We didn't play Joe
Smoak. They don't need no hype. They got all the hype themselves.
They tried to throw that sauce on me, talking about, damn, let me turn into a Bama fan.
We didn't play Mac Jones, nor did we play Jalen Hurts at quarterback, y'all.
Well, Jalen nasty back there too, though. I ain't gonna lie. As far as getting out of there,
I watched Bryce, man, when he was when they played against IMG, man, and from that moment alone, I say, yeah, this guy probably going, once he get to college, he probably gonna be one of the best ever. Going to Bama, they giving him all the tools to be the best ever. You know what I'm saying? Bama offensive line just like they gave him enough to do what he needed to do, and then he had just enough time to wiggle around and get away from the certain sacks and stuff like that. You're not really seeing that from a freshman. He's ahead of the game as far as that position. He's at Bama. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, they're giving him everything he needs to be. One thing I would say is it's certain players on our team, I feel like, who just don't have the heart and don't understand that you're in this until the end. Like, some you can see in certain players, they just be like, all right, well, that guy's better than me. Go, you know what I'm saying? Like, on
get started, X, man. Go ahead.
This specific play, They ran it. Matter of fact, I think the second play of the game, and he overthrew the pass. They come back and run it again. I think it's the second half or third half. And he runs toward the safety, and then he goes, he does a post corner. Now, the safety is Gervin Hall. What are you doing in the middle of the field when you're supposed to be on the left pass? DJ Ivy is playing corner. This guy is fast. You notice he's fast. Why are you so close to him? If he runs by you, why not grab him and get the 15 yards instead of just letting him run by you?
Right.
It's certain things that in your head you should know. When you, especially you're a fourth-year senior, you should know certain things. So at that point, I was like, yeah, man, just take them out. Let the young guys play. Because the young guys going to try to prove something. Y'all ain't trying to prove nothing. Y'all just saying whatever. The young guys came in to prove something.
And X, to piggyback off what you said, I hold coaches accountable all the time. But we have T-Rob at DB. T-Rob can't play corner and safety for these boys. Like you said, we have fourth-year seniors who it's almost like they're not learning from their mistakes. They're putting themselves in bad situations. They're putting themselves in horrible situations. Like you said, the Gervin Hall thing, even the fumble, like T-Rob can't go out there and do it for you, man. He can't do it for you. He can't tell you to buckle down and get the fumble. Like, that was the weakest fumble recovery I've probably ever seen by a fourth-year big-time college football player. You just can't do that stuff. And that, to me, there's some stuff I saw in this game that was coaching, and there's some stuff I saw where, like, this is just you doing the same thing you've been doing for 4 years.
And then that comes back to the coaching, though, because then you got to start making these cold decisions about who got to get out the game. It's kind of in that same bag. Like, I want to get, you know, start off kind of with the negatives, you know, where we at right now, like the things we didn't care for at all. I guess because I've been kind of harping on it, and I spoke on it before, and I keep that same energy at this point. Lashley, for him to be this offensive genius, there was just too many times in these big moments, in these big games, where we just haven't got it and it done. And I'm with you, Measy. Like, yeah, players got to play. We got to win 50-50s. That's got to be a part of the coach's plan. He needs you to win some 50-50s. I totally understand that. But again, you have to coach to the talent you got. And in games like this one, in games like UNC, in games like Clemson, I'm going to hold his feet to the fire, really honestly, mostly for UNC, because Clemson and Bama are elite. So there's no question about that. And I brought this up. We talked about this. I can't remember if I talked about it on the Big Show or the or if it was the No Cap Sunday show. But anyways, if you look at North Carolina's resume over the last few years, despite all this hype they get, they don't really got a good signature win. They don't. As much as they try to talk about us not having one, they don't either. But everybody keeps hyping them like they're just this machine. They really aren't. They do have some talent there, some NFL talent, absolutely. I give Mac Brown some credit for kind of closing up the state a little bit and making sure whatever good talent they do have in North Carolina stays there. But they just Miami up north a little bit, honestly. They do bring in some pretty good NFL talent, but a lot of that talent does wash out at the next level. Doesn't really turn out to be, you know, all the hype that they may have been put up to. Looking, go see Mitch Trubisky, right?
At this point, you know, every team that plays you or whatever, it's a measuring stick. We're saying, well, you know, well, we know where UM used to be, but y'all not there no more. So if we are better than y'all right now, then, you know, y'all are just the garbage. You know what I'm saying? That's basically
what they think they're good, right? Think they're good, which is crazy because you're talking out both sides of your mouth. It's like, well, if we ain't no good, then beating us ain't a measuring stick, right?
Like, yeah, it ain't no more. I mean, right as of right now, it's not.
I wouldn't say it is. Yeah.
You can see like the determination that every team got when they play you. It's like, boy, we got to whoop. You know, it's not like, oh, yeah, it's just another team.
And like, I'm going to
Even Bama, like, yeah, y'all, you know, that's, yeah, y'all not, y'all, but we gonna whoop y'all because y'all, you know what I'm saying? It's basically like a standing out in front of everybody if you beat UM, no matter how bad UM is.
It's I'm gonna whoop your ass. It's stepdaddy stepping into the house and letting y'all know, oh, but I run this house. So everybody tries to do that regardless. And it's witnessed by just as simple as like, them cornballs always talking about we they Super Bowl. That's not true, bro. That's cap. We all Super Bowl. I've seen how people celebrate when they get up on us, when they beat us. If it was just another game, Pitt wouldn't be pulling out a chain, right? Why they pulling out a Panther chain? Why they losing their mind over beating UM? It's not we're your Super Bowl because you're hanging on to the past more than we are. Most UM fans real enough to be like, oh, no, we ain't no way near that. We know who we was because we remember when we was Ben. So that ain't nothing.
Fans at times, but fans need to understand, and every fan base can't say this. What Bam was doing right now, Miami was doing that. And people, coaches and teams, I don't care if it's 20, 30, 40 years removed, like y'all saying, it's we beat Miami. And people don't understand, like, we're gonna get everybody's best game.
Everybody.
And
they want to just say it.
Like, you can't argue it. It is what it is. That's just one of the facts of college football. Miami's name still holds weight. We beat Miami. We see locker rooms going crazy if we have a down year, and they're going crazy like they won a Super Bowl or a national championship.
Right.
It's Miami still. It's Miami.
Yeah, the name holds weight. It's still a feather in their hat regardless. So they ain't going to fool me with that. But, yeah, that's probably one of my biggest gripes was I felt like at times the play calling just seemed a tad conservative, a tad – I hate when coaches, I think, sometimes get to outthinking themselves, trying to be a little cute. And I think it was a couple of times he did that. You know, some of the shots we kind of missed out on taking was a bit of a, you know, I hated seeing that. And again, when you say, again, I'll give you that credit against Bama because the talent is elite. But when you play in UNC, it's really more of a mirror image when it comes to talent. Or actually by most, you know, if you go look in the little books or whatever, we got more blue chip players than them. So that is a game that I cannot accept. 62-26, and really all them points came at the very end. Because, yeah, they ran all over us and whatnot. Sure, no problem. But guess what? Every time they score a touchdown, you get the football back. So here's the chance for you to go score now. And what did we do? Little to nothing. I need to see him step up in that arena big time this year. So that was probably my biggest gripe about the game.
But let me say something. L, you leading a charge with a docket and everything. But let me ask you to this. Before I comment, I want to hear L and X. What do you take from Lashley's game calling? What do you take? Because I watched a lot of film from that game. What do you take from it?
I'll let you go first, X.
What do I take from Lashley's play calling? I kind of knew this already. I guess I would say I was in denial. I didn't want to admit it, but I'm gonna go ahead and admit it. Lashley is basically running the offense that Auburn used to run, but he don't have the explosive quarterback. Which I mean, I think King is that, but he's just not doing it that we thought he would be. Gus my zone offense, you know, it was like it's predictable. You know, a lot predictable. You know what I'm saying? His offense was, we're going to throw a lot of 50-50 balls and our receiver's going to beat you. Or we're going to zone read, zone option, and our quarterback going to beat you. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Or we're going to pass a running back. So his play calling, I would say, this game obviously was bad because I just don't think he tried hard enough to confuse the defense. Running the ball on 3rd and 7, What was that about? You know what I'm saying?
The first drive of the game.
The fourth and inch on goal line with a 5'10 quarterback. What's that about? You know what I'm saying? What are you thinking? You know what I'm saying? It got to be something in your head say no. not running no shotgun quarterback sneak with a 5'10 quarterback who just had knee surgery and going up the gut. To well, Bama got 1,000-pound people. What are you doing? So his play call in this game, man, was bad. Like,
it's almost like Lashley and Garen Justice, our O-line coach, wanted to prove to people our O-line can block. It's almost like they tried to force that issue. This is the worst. And I watched Lashley's play calling at SMU, UConn, Auburn. And what I took from that was he didn't even try that mess at them schools doing that. So, like, why are you trying that right now? Because he has experience against playing Bama. He knows what's coming. This and that. Like, that, his play calling just confused me, man. But I did watch some film. A lot of plays he did call could have been made, but our offensive players didn't make so-and-so block. But you're putting these boys in bad situations. Like X said, 3rd and 8, and you're running the ball, and we down 7-0. Like, as soon as that happened, I knew 14-0 was coming next drive. But go ahead, what's your opinion, man?
But, yeah, I see my boy Chef Maul in the back. What up, Maul? We're going to get you on in just a second, dog. You hear me? All right, yeah, thumbs up. Cool. We're going to get you in a second. For me, yeah, like I said, that was my biggest gripe. So what I saw was just a lack of real adjustments I really wanted to see. It was a big deal to me. I understand you scripted. And he even said, you know, he said in a press conference, he said, we know you don't beat Bama by running on them, but you got to do it a little bit to keep them honest. And we had some decent runs, not nothing huge, 4-5 yard gainers. Cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But then when our passing game wasn't quite getting what we needed to do, that's why I need you to start making some of these adjustments. That's why I might want to see an Elijah Arroyo out there so we can hit him with another mismatch. You know, maybe line him up next to Will. This is why I just need us to get a little more creative. And you got to be prepared for all of that when you're coming against Bama. Because let's say we went out there and had a great first half. Oh, do trust and believe Saban about to go in that back room. And it's going to be some major adjustments. So show me what you're going to do when the pressure's truly on. Because it's going to come at some point. If we would have been up, they would have made him go, all right, now do something else. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, did you think Lashley's creative?
I ain't seen it, no. I wouldn't say creative, no.
One thing I want to say, too, this no huddle, I get it.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I think it helps.
I don't mind it, but it's almost at times, again, you can do that against, okay, subpar teams, but the Bama, the Clemson, against well-coached teams, the North Carolina with Mack Brown, it's almost like we going so fast, like, it's not working.
Well, fast is fine if you get in the completions. Fast is fine as if you keep matriculating the ball.
He keeps going fast when we not moving the ball. He keeps going
right.
Fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we got Maul.
I don't know how creative Lashley is. I mean, I think the most creativeness I've seen him was, I guess you could say Florida State game last year, but like, does that even count? Like, that,
yeah,
that
was at that point, we were just playing around.
I think he was running the same plays, but it was Florida State.
I don't know. Is it creative? I mean,
yeah, maybe they just suck.
He could get more, yeah, he definitely could be more creative as far as, I don't know, man. You know, I kind of get a sense of maybe he don't trust the players as much as he did at his other school. I mean, I'm thinking that got to be it because his offenses look good at other programs. King has looked good when he was at Houston. You come to Miami, you have probably better athletes than each school that you're at. I mean, obviously, why isn't it working as much as it did at these previous schools? So I don't know. Maybe it's a trust issue, or I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, like I said, I mean, you know, I'll say this, and I'm gonna get Maul. I'm gonna let Maul chop it up with us. You know, the biggest jump in college football is week 1 to week 2. So now we get to really see, because we only 9-point favorites against App State. I do believe App State's a good program, but if Lashley's gonna prove to me he really could do what you know we've hyped him up to do somewhat, we beat them people by at least 20, and that's a good school. But again, they don't have the athletes we have. But we'll see. But anyway, let me bring Maul on there, man. Let him speak his piece, man.
What's going on, fellas? Y'all hear me good?
Yes, sir. You coming in?
What's up, Ma? Hey, Ma, tell the people your Twitter name so they can follow you, man. Shout you out.
At Chef Mall 7. You can find me. That's M-A-A-L 7. Been following, you know, Big Three Roll Up for a while. I always jumped on those Sunday calls and stuff like that. So I'm real cool with Silk and just happy to see the growth. You know, I think everything's prospering and things develop and grow. And it's funny because I follow Larry on Twitter for a while, follow X for a while too. So it's cool seeing the collab and I see the vision. And I think Meezy's perfect to, you know, I see the vision, man. So y'all just keep grinding at it. It's going to get better every week for sure.
We appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate that, brother. What you got on your chest, man? How you feeling?
Okay. For me, it was when I watched the game. I live in Atlanta, but I couldn't go to the game. The lady was like, nah, you know, the one she heard that the stadium was open and they could have the mask off in the stands, she was like, nope. She's a nurse practitioner, so she shut that down. But when I was watching the game, I kind of stopped looking at the score early. And I was kind of trying to see, I treated this game like almost like a jamboree scrimmage type of thing. How can we get better from this game? And I feel that's the conversation I'm not hearing. Is I hear people complaining about Bama. I felt like people kind of bought the sauce that, oh, we could beat them. We didn't beat them, but it's like, okay, how can we get better? Because my biggest thing is I don't want to lose twice to Bama, right? So what can we take from this game? What positives did we see? And I saw a lot of positives, a lot of little things. And when people complain about the score, I tell them if the refs blew a whistle a few times for our favor, maybe we got more points, but it wouldn't change the outcome, right? We're going to lose that game no matter what, because the whole strategy was to make Bryce beat us, and he beat us. He's better than I thought he was going to be. And if you would have told me, hey, we're going to hold them to only 100-some yards rushing, I would have took those numbers before the game, because then I'm saying, well, are they beating us with the pass? I'm not sure. Hey, they beat us. That quarterback's the real deal. They're Bama. And then when I started watching all the other games, I was like, no one else is on this team's level. We just had to play them.
That's so exactly what I said before you got on, my man.
You just got to accept that, okay, we faced the hardest game we're going to face. And it's like one of those things where it's almost like the old analogy, practice is the hardest game for us. Our first game was our hardest game. Them boys should feel this and know that the next fight you get into ain't going to be this tough. But if them boys can take what they learned from this week, we should be fine moving forward. And I'm looking for growth. That's my big thing. I'm looking for growth every week. And if I see that, I saw a linebacker playing better. When I saw 4 in the game, I saw 11 in the game. Linebackers were making plays. When they weren't in the game, tackles were being missed, those type of things.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I saw
Terry Couch doing those things.
Hey, I'm glad you said that and you noticed that, because I've said this after the game. Everybody was like, man, X, I know you finna go hard on him. I said, you know what, I'm going to wait a whole day before I say something bad. And then Sunday, I didn't really want to say anything bad, because I was like, you know what? It was Bama, you know what I'm saying? But I'm glad that you said that about the linebackers. When Flag and Smith was in the game, you seen the run game wasn't explosive enough for them. They, you know, Bama didn't do that much. Then when they put 44 and Steed in the game.
They look like they had.
Yeah, Steed is a smart linebacker. I just feel like he physically lost a lot by being hurt.
Steed still faced so many injuries, man.
My God. 44, yeah. I don't have nothing to say. I don't have anything good to say about 44.
Nobody has anything. That's a player who
– I don't even know why he gets switched in and switched out on the field at times. You got to stop that. You know what I'm saying? And then at this point – You got to get some players that's, okay, man, they going to go out there and make them plays and get used to it and say, okay, I'm going to keep them on the field. 44 shouldn't be on the field. 8 shouldn't be on the field. So but I'm glad you said that, man, boy.
Hey, Mal, let me ask you a question, though, real quick.
Yeah.
So I understand everything you said about it. Bama, you said it's a jamboree, it's a scrimmage. I can see what you're trying to say. I think a lot of Miami fans are thinking, okay, this is Miami. We're supposed to fight with Bama. But with you saying what you said, watching the game, Mal, do you think the score should have been 27-0 as fast as it should have been? Or not even that, the way we came out, do you think we could have came out at least a little better?
Here's the thing. We obviously could have came out better. No one's going to say that. But what I noticed was when I saw Scaife get beat on that right side, that's when I stopped looking at the score. Because at that point, I was like, it's not going to happen today. Because I saw the play develop, and then it was just boom. So guess what? If you had a game plan, you might as well put them plays back in your pocket and worry about them next week. But when I look at the team, for me, what I saw was defense gave up a touchdown, but then they gave up a three. If you're going to beat Bama, you got to score with them. We didn't score with them. So to me, this one's on the offense. To me, the defense did what you can expect. They had their bad moments, but they had some positive moments that I'm like, okay, this looked better than last year, so we can grow. So now the next step is going to have to be us winning these games we're supposed to win, kind of like what y'all said, App State should be a 20-point win. It should be. It doesn't mean we got to beat them 28 zip in the first quarter, but by the fourth quarter, we should be up a couple scores. I want to see a freshman score a touchdown in the fourth quarter. If that happens, we did something right. We're on the right track.
But you want to know what? The growth that you're talking about now, if you take that first half away, I mean, I'm not a moral victory guy. Take the first half away. The score was 17.
We're not Florida State. Just say that. We ain't Florida State.
Yeah.
No, not a moral victory. But the second half,
the score was 17-10. The score was 17-10. So if you take the first half away, it's 17-10. You actually see once the younger guys got in, the team was like, okay, we finna fight. We fighting back. We trying to do something.
You can't say we didn't put up a fight when we played four quarters. The score was bad, but we played four quarters. I was watching us play and compete for four quarters. So I'm like, if we take those positives, and if this is some good film, if we break that down, we should be able to fix a lot of these things.
And the only problem I have is
a lot of old problems. Certain people on defense. But wide receivers made plays when the ball was in the air.
Yeah, big positive. I'll say this because when we talked on No Cap Sunday, I didn't watch the whole game. Because, like I told you, I kind of checked out once it was 27-0. I was like, all right, like you said, it's a wrap. I'll catch it on the replay. I'm going ham now. Like, I'm just taking shots and just getting lit. It's birthday weekend. So, and argued with Miami fans that was in Atlanta. That was a good time. But one of the things that I did notice, because I watched it this afternoon before we got on, was that I was like, I didn't see a ton of bad football. I really didn't. And I definitely agree. Second half, I felt like we turned it up a notch. Because somebody said, oh, how much would they have scored if he didn't pull off, right? He didn't pull off the pedal. And I said, 60-something. Again, I'm drunk. I mean, this is my actual birthday. When I watched the game, I was like, well, they didn't really pull up. He was just playing smart football. I was like, when you got a big lead, you're supposed to run the rock. That's what he did. He ran it. He had some success running it. Not a ton. He, play protective football at this point. Nick Saban ain't no fool. You think when he spazzed on what's up, boy? That was out with COVID, that Ole Miss. Lane. When he spazzed on Lane when he was on their staff, it was because it was just a bad football call. I remember he flipped out on the sideline. They was up big. Everybody like, why he tripping? Because he don't play stupid football. He don't care what the score is. And when you play stupid football with Nick Saban, he's going to let you know. They didn't let up on us. They played. They'll continue to play their game plan. And I thought we stood pretty strong. I think that was definitely one of the bright spots.
Saban
was
the young boys. Well. Saban said he didn't like how his team was looking in the second half, which is credit to Miami because we did make some second half adjustments. But the score was just so gone. And we honestly had chances where we could have cut that thing down and scared them a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We could have cut it down. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You said that fourth and goal with.
Hey, I think one smart thing Nick Saban understands is if you look at over the previous years, I don't even know if I want to accommodate Diaz with this, but. You look at over the previous years, when you jump out big and up on teams, We don't lose them games.
Yeah.
Nick Saban understood that. And he's like, man, he didn't even give us the opportunity. And I think a lot of teams are starting to understand that and say, you know what, we're not going to give you an opportunity, because once they get going with their momentum, it's hard. It's hard to beat us. So
yeah,
I'm starting to understand that with a lot of teams, man.
And I'll say these two quick points here. One thing I need people to be patient with, too, is these freshmen. These freshmen are great, but you can't overload them. My biggest issue with the program, if you ask me what's been a failure of the program last 15 years, is we recruit talent, but they're 18 years old on the field doing things where at other programs, they might sit for a year or two or play spot ball. So by the time they're on the field at these other schools, they play fast. Our guys get on the field too early, and it's almost like they get punch drunk to where, like, you can't untrain those things they learned too early. So for me, as the season goes, I want 0 and 24 to get more snaps. If they got 20% this game, I want it to be 35-40. And maybe after that week off before UNC, they can get more than half the reps. And we just have to trust that what we're building. The way I look at Miami's program is we had a house that needed to be gutted, and we avoid gutting the house, right? We knew there was foundation issues. You know, Shannon came, we just painted it. Golden came, we put some dope appliances in the house, but the foundation was never right. And Manny has had to gut the program, and he's gutting it, and he's in that process, and it looks a little messy at times, but this is what we need. And what I'll tell fans is this: give Manny two more years. One of two things going to happen in two more years. Either he learns how to become that good coach, because he's OJT right now, unfortunately, but that's the truth. So either he gets it right, or if 2 years, if it's not right, the cupboard's going to be full from senior to freshman, and then you can really entice that next coach to come in. I don't think you were going to get a coach to want to clean all this up, but Manny's done cleaned it up. If we can give him two more years, either he's going to not succeed, but he'll stack the cupboard for us for that next coach, similar to what UF had with the coach before Meyer. He couldn't
Ron's up.
He couldn't win games, but he stacked that cupboard, and then Meyer was able to clean it up. So if we can just give him two more years, either he's going to figure it out, but if he doesn't, the program's going to have that tier stability that's been lacking, where we got kids coming here trying to play 3 years and leave, and we never get to maximize their level of play at the program. They wore the U, but we didn't get 2-3 good years of them, because we rushed them on the field, and we had all this instability.
So I agree with Miles saying, because Diaz has done a lot of good at Miami, like reshaping the roster, the transfer portal and stuff. Excuse me. He's doing a whole lot of good. But I think what the fans are worried about is when big games show up. Alvin X, what did I say last week? When Al, you asked us, what can we not do? And what did I say? We cannot go down 21-0.
Right.
You did. And that's what happened. That's what happened. If Lashley's supposed to be Lashley, we cannot be down in big games 21-0. We just can't. We just can't. Like, he's starting too slow.
It's a bad trend.
It's a bad trend with him. It's getting repetitive now. Like, it's 21-0 first quarter. Yeah.
Last four losses, it's been like that. So
that's what I'm right. And our last four losses have been against ranked teams.
Yeah, it's not good. It's right. No, definitely not. That's been a pattern.
Like, you got to be the right team. Remember,
Why do you all think he's starting like that against these teams, though? I don't think the players are scared, but do you think Lashley is scared?
Well, you know, one thing they said last year was when they prepare for a team, they prepare for a team, and then a team will come out as something totally different. Right. I kind of get it, but you're a coach. You're supposed to be prepared for everything.
But why are they doing that, though? They might be doing that because they know Lashley might not adapt to what the change is.
He's not going to adjust. He's going to give you the teams are basically saying, man, you know, we know what y'all going to do. You know what I'm saying? Y'all too predictable. We know you're going to run this screen here. You're going to try to run the ball second down. And then you're going to try to see if you can hit somebody over the middle on third down. They basically said, we know this already. So if they know that, if the fans know it,
I think Lashley does adjust. He's doing it way too late.
Right. And I think what happened last year, was those freshmen didn't really get that spring, and I think that hurt us. You installing a new offense. That's why I think he had to rise 6-8 on offense so much, because that's what they had. So we're going to see this year. I mean, the proof going
they didn't play.
Gonna rise or it's going to fall. But we're going to see.
Eight played a little bit. Yeah, I don't think six played at all. But anyway, hey, man, thank you for kicking it with us, man. We appreciate it. Like I said at the beginning, we plan on making this a show for the people, by the people. You know, the more y'all come in and tap in, and, you know, if you're talking, you know, if you got that good conversation, like, Ma, you can hang out for a minute. You start talking wild, I'm going to just get you on out of here and let you go have a good day. Enjoy the rest of your day. We really appreciate you coming on with us for a bit, bro.
Yeah, for sure, man. You brought some good content, Ma.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. I got y'all anytime y'all need it. Just give me a day's notice, and I'll make it work.
No doubt, man. Appreciate it, bro.
For sure.
All right, later. But yeah, cool, man. I appreciate him coming on to kick it with us. Man, we about tore through most of the stuff I wanted to get to. I guess we'll wrap Bama like this, and then we'll get a little bit into App State. That ain't really a lot to talk about. I actually just found out I got to interview the App State guy in a minute, so now I got to get off here and figure out some questions because I didn't know he was getting an App State guy. But real quick, the positives. I will go with one of my biggest positives was, despite we didn't have a ton of sacks, I did like the pressure. I thought it looked like Diaz again. I'm like, yeah, see, this is why I tell people, until he showed me he's not going to get that guy with 8 sacks, I'm going to give him that. And you got to remember we're dealing with an elite, because you're dealing with an elite O-line and an elite quarterback with great escapability. So the kid got out of there, but we did get some heat on him. And that was very encouraging.
We definitely did.
I didn't know who we were going to get to bring that heat. So that's probably one of my biggest positives. What you got, Meezy?
A big positive to me, even though the game was kind of out of reach, big game, James Williams.
I mean,
as soon as he came into the game, tackle for loss, I'm watching it with my eyes. And he's doing stuff that Gervin Hall should be doing right now. Right. He's doing stuff Gervin Hall should be doing right now. So that's a big positive with me. Restrepo. I mean, we keep hearing about Restrepo in practices. That's a big take from me, Restrepo. He's just a baller. He might not be physically better than other people or faster. He's a football player.
Yeah, hard.
So I got hard James energy. Williams. I got Restrepo. And I know people don't want to hear about a kicker, but I'm going to put Borg Allis in there.
not after the shit we've been through.
Right.
I'm going to put Borg Allis in there.
I'm going to put him in there.
Hey, I'll take it.
I thought we can rely on him, man. But James Williams, Restrepo, and Borg Allis, those were big spots with me. And I like that they were big spots because they're all young. They're all young. They got a lot more football to play at Miami. So those are my three bright spots for the game.
Okay. How about you, Ed?
The first bright spot, I'm gonna say it didn't happen in the game, but it was at practice yesterday. Normally, you have a game like this, the players, the morale could be down. One thing I seen yesterday in practice, man, T-Rod was really getting at it with them players. He was basically telling them, "Look. Y'all older guys, y'all keep effing around. All right. You see the younger guys gonna get in, they ain't gonna come out. And you see James and Cam, they pushing. I'm talking about when I say they pushing. It ain't no
pushing.
It's pushing hard, man. Then I go over to the receivers, I see Likens yelling and telling the receivers, "Oh man, you gotta stack it and double stack it, and you should know this by now, and next you know. The younger guys are getting in there and doing it." I'm like, uh-oh. This is what we needed to see. Because guess what? If you ain't going to get the job done, we're going to put somebody else in there to get the job done. Granted, like I say, man, it was a Bama game, man. It's rare that you're going to play a Bama team and you're going to put your freshmen in. It's rare. You're not going to really do that. That's Bama. You know what I'm saying? It can really get ugly. So, but by the fact that my guy, Big James Williams and Cam got in there, and they didn't look bad at all, shows you that we got the players to do it. You know what I'm saying? And they pushing the older guys. Well, all right, you make a mistake and I get in here, that's it. You know what I'm saying? Now you're going to be watching me.
Yeah, that's your ass. And that's what you got to have. You got to have that killer instinct to get to that next level, man. You really want to get to where you want to be, that killer instinct got to kick in. I mean, some of these kids just better, you know. And if they're going to transfer, guess what? You got to let them go. Because it's other people that have transferred in and been successful with it. So if you decide that you don't want to get better and beat out this young boy, or you just decide that the reality is you ain't ever going to beat him, I ain't got no problem with that. Go ahead and move on, young bro, and make the best out of your life.
I got a question. I got a lot to talk about, my bad, but I'm not going to say everything because I'm not going to say everything. But Alan X, what does it take for these young boys to overtake the seniority of the team? Because I will say, I did not like Leonard Taylor did not get in that game.
Well,
I did not like that.
The DTs played well enough that I understood it.
Even garbage time, he didn't get in. I have and he was the number three player in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a stat. They said every 5-star D tackle got in the game last weekend. We did play Bama, but if Van Dyke and them boys in at the end, give my boy at least a snap or something.
I can just basically give you from what I see at practice and then what the coach is going is saying. With LT, you have probably the most physical specimen at D tackle you I'm seeing in a long time. If you're just going based off talent alone, he's supposed to start. He should be our starter. It's a lot where they want LT to understand that we know you're better than everybody on the field, LT, but now it's a lot to do with scheming. You know what I'm saying? A lot to do with the plays, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. So that's why he's not in the game, but he's going to play. He's going to play. I mean, I keep telling people, like, it was Bama. Do you want to put all your freshmen in the game against Bama? Like, that's just
– get them hurt.
People mad at me talking about, James and Cam started the game.
Different positions.
Start the game, really?
They did.
Like, we was already bad with the senior start. You think a freshman going to start, going to make a difference? Like, this is Bama.
So y'all feel saying, Taylor shouldn't have got in at all, basically what you're saying.
I'm not saying he shouldn't have got in.
But you understand why he didn't.
I mean, why he didn't. But at the end of the game,
I don't think it was a seniority thing at that point. Yeah. I really think it was just like, look, this
shit. And that D tackle depth is just probably the most depth we got. So you got Miller, you got Nestor, you got Hunt. And
I like Harrison Hunt.
You know what I'm saying?
Hunt played ball.
But
I mean, at the end of the day, I told people, I say, man, look, by the middle of the season, Leonard Taylor probably be at 3 depth. He probably be 3 to 4 depth at D tackle. James Williams or Cam, one of them going to end up starting. I said this, and I still stick to it because it's what I see.
Right.
But when do you think it gets to that point where Kitchens or James Williams overtakes not Bubba Bolden but Gervin? I mean, I'm gonna be real about Gervin Hall. What is he doing? I mean, I'm being serious. What is he doing?
It's not just what. See, this is the one thing I will defend. And you gotta remember, it's game one. It's game one.
Against Bama,
right? Right now, like X saying, he out there to practices. They running with the twos. They right behind them pushing anyways. So they are shaking it up because you wouldn't typically see that before. So they are ready to start getting them boys in there. And I do think you're going to see a change. But part of the change was getting the talent up. And you got to trust, especially at safety, you got to really trust them kids back there. You the safety, you the last line of defense. I believe you can, especially with Cam. I think Cam's a really intelligent player. He kind of reminds me a lot of
He reminds me of, I don't want to say he's go ahead, Ed go ahead. Reed, but I don't want to say he's Ed Reed. I'm not saying that. But Cam is a genius. Thank you. He's a genius.
He has an Ed Reed IQ. I'm not going to say he's Ed Reed, but he has the Ed Reed IQ.
I'm not saying he's Ed Reed, but he's
smart. He's smart enough to know the defense.
He's smart.
Like I he was out there and he was basically in every even if he didn't make the play, he was there. He made the tackle because he was
he caused the first turnover.
You know what I'm saying? So he understands the game. Leroy, you probably was finna say he's more like Brandon Mayweather.
I was thinking a little bit more Jaquan. That's what I was thinking about.
Oh, Jaquan. Okay, Jaquan.
Yeah. Jaquan. A guy that is pretty physically gifted. You know, a little bit bigger than Jaquan, I would think, at this stage. But really intelligent. And one thing Jaquan did for us, he was always where you needed him to be. Always. Never out of position. So I think he can at least be that. I think that's his floor, not his ceiling. He could be better than Jaquan, but Jaquan's one of the better safeties we done had in a minute around here. But
I think Kitchens can be one of the best safeties to come through Miami, though.
Yeah, possibly. That's why I say his floor is Jaquan. If your floor is Jaquan, that's a nice floor.
I mean, he got in before James Williams, which that's
again just speaks to his IQ. It just speaks to his IQ.
You know, the him getting in before James. Remember, he got there before James. The one thing I told him, I tell people, I say, man, you know, if James would have came the same as Cam Kitchens came and they would have had that full screen, maybe one of them probably start at safety.
Right. And you got Tay still coming back.
Yeah. Maybe if Tay is there, then it's a different. But they're going to be pushing for the 10.
Yeah. So that's going to be our best problem, safety. I mean,
Y'all think Gervin Hall should still be a starter?
No. No, and I don't think so.
But one thing fans got to understand is when they in practice, man, it's certain things that the older guys do at practice to get them to starting position.
They might work harder.
It's just things that coaches believe in and trust. Like if this guy's on every rep he does it at 100, and then you know the freshman does it at 90. I mean, I'm gonna put the guy at 100. That's what coaches think. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you know, as fans, we like, man, shoot, we don't care. Put the better play in. You know what I'm saying?
But you gotta trust me. I got a lot of questions. I'm not gonna talk about everything. I'm gonna throw it back to you, L, right after this though.
Pause.
Who is determining on the defense? Who plays? Who starts?
That's got to be
who.
That's right.
That's my thing. Who
position coach?
You're right. Position coach. At the end of the day,
so is the position coach determining who plays, or is Manny doing it?
Nah,
if a position coach says, "Okay, I think James Williams should start," does Manny be like, "No, this so and so should start"?
He could, but
I don't see how.
As a head coach, you got to trust your position coaches. So you have to. That's the whole reason you bring them in, is so that you could defer to them. You got so much.
I don't think elite coaches necessarily do that, though.
I don't know. I don't think. I think like Dable gets all the credit for being elite, but Dable is just a guy that holds his people to the fire. He hires the right people, but he don't get in their way.
So y'all saying Manny tells T-Rob who's gonna start?
T-Rob says who starts.
So you think T-Rob still wants Gervin Hall starting over Kitchens or
Week
James
one?
Williams?
Week one?
But no, I'm talking about going forward. The depth chart.
No, that's what I said. Yeah, that's going what I said. Forward. I don't think that.
But no. If it's
a couple of weeks,
trust me. T Rob is going to say, man, okay, this is what we did this week. These are the two guys I feel should start. Manny going to agree with it. Because he obviously has the final say so at the end of the day. Now, what T Rob is now doing, he's basically saying, hey, you seeing what these younger guys doing. They're probably going to have 50-50 snaps. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be though. He starts the whole game, and then y'all come in sparingly. No, it's going to be 50-50 snaps. They're going to get in on some key plays. So that's I think the only position Manny sends out the starters is at linebacker.
Yeah.
Do y'all think Gerben Hall should be starting this week? My bad, L. I can't.
Me, you done asked us that three times.
Because, man, I got a lot of stuff to say, but dang, man. Like, I don't see how Gervin Hall is still starting. I don't.
because it's freshman, dog. And like X just told you, starting don't really matter if we're talking about snaps. He may start and they get the least amount of snaps, depending on with their performance when they get out there.
But these boys aren't going to play any worse than Gervin Hall, though. That's my thing. Well, so why do you keep trotting Gervin Hall? Let's be real. James Williams and Kitchens is not going to play any worse than Gervin Hall. So why do you keep throwing Gervin Hall out there? That's my thing. I understand everything y'all saying, but y'all understand what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
We understand. Look, next time they do the press conference, I'm gonna ask T-Rob or Coach Diaz. I'm going to ask one of them, hey, why y'all keep playing Gervin Hall? That's a question coming from me.
Because soon as James Williams came in, James Williams is in the backfield. I'm not trying to get hype, but I mean, darn, bro.
You pick the wrong time.
As soon as James Williams comes in the game, he's making plays in the backfield. We don't see Gervin Hall in the backfield. Somebody said Gervin Hall was like the second or third leading tackler. Why do we think?
I mean, he put stuff, might have been cleaning up back as well.
Yeah, let's move along from the Gervin Hall thing, man. We already know he's not good. Let's move along.
Yeah, I'm about to say. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we know he's not good, but dude, the coaches know he's not good. But I'm not answering that shit again.
I got to get up out of here. We covered almost everything we wanted to get to anyway, so App State. So we do know that.
No major injuries. I see you got that on the docket. No major injuries. Hardy, I think on that play, his helmet came off. Maybe it was a concussion. I don't know. They didn't really say, but he was in a red jersey yesterday. But he's back. He's back at practice, running with full gear on. Rostamul Justice. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He's starting at right tackle now.
Yeah, Aloisi. Yeah.
He's starting at right tackle. I don't know if fans know this or anybody else know this. I'm gonna give y'all. It's something that a lot of people don't know. It's a personal problem, personal issue with the offensive line coach and certain offensive linemen. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I've heard that smoke. People have been asking. So y'all do the math. Y'all asking why such and such not starting?
We trying to win football games, though. X, do you agree with that?
Of course not. I'm not the coach, man. I wish I was. I wouldn't have had that personal issue, man. But
hey, he's got to understand. We feel like you're on a lot. We just don't get to make them calls, baby. That's just what it is. Anyways, we get ready for App State. I think we beat them people by more than the nine they're giving them. I'm gonna give a score prediction, 42-20. Meezy, what you got on that one?
I mean, Vegas knows. Vegas puts the lines out. Vegas do be wrong. Vegas had Oklahoma beating, who was that, Tulane by 20 plus,
right?
That was a 5-point game,
right?
But Vegas knows something. I mean, I think Vegas is going by our offensive production. I don't even think it's a defense. I think Vegas is going by our offensive production, but I think we should be at by 20. But let me ask y'all, if we don't beat them by 20, do you think it's a problem? I'm asking you, L and X, is it a problem?
Yeah, I think so. I think ultimately, I think App State's a good team. But the bottom line is when you're dealing with those smaller schools, it's depth regardless. It's not that all those boys that start aren't really good players. And a lot of them could be on, Division I Power 5 schools. Some of them are overlooked or some of them develop later and stuff like that. But what always ends up being their Achilles heel is the depth. So even if they keep it in the game for a while, at a point we should push them out of the way and get a 20-point victory, in my opinion.
I think
it's probably going to be like 45-10. Man. I don't think they score a lot, man, because they run the zone read, and all we got to do is play discipline. And if you notice, they got the quarterback that we beat the hell out of for the last 2 years.
Who the quarterback?
Chase Bryce. Remember he was at Duke?
Oh, yeah. Oh, damn, he went to App State. That's right.
Yeah, he transferred to App State. So, I mean, if we don't blow them out, man, yes, it's a problem. So, I think it's going to be an easy game for us, though.
I think that's free money.
Yeah, I'm putting it on us to cover the nine.
Yeah, 45-10. 45-10 is my prediction, I would say.
And then we'll probably get overhyped as a fan base. So, we'll see how that
all goes. It's not overhyped. We playing Appalachian State.
No, I'm saying we got to see how the fans gonna react. If they go crazy, we all agree that we should beat them people by 20 points. So don't overreact then. Say, okay, business, job done. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what I mean by overreaction.
I mean, at this point, all three of us we're fans and then we're realists.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We beat App State 100-0. Like, it shouldn't be no getting excited about that. Like, you're supposed to be.
App State pretty good, though. I'm going to give them that. They were good even before they stepped up. So, they're going to have to bring a pretty good game. But, yeah, I still expect the 20 points. But that's it for the day, man. We're going to get on out of here.
We'll talk on the recruiting buzz. We'll get on the recruiting buzz next week, man. I had a – I still got a lot, some things to talk to certain recruits, but it ain't bad. You know what I'm saying? To think it would be, but it ain't bad. Some of it's real good. So
we played Bama, y'all. People who listen to the show, we played Bama.
Get on that next one.
No doubt. Man, we appreciate y'all tuning in with us. We'll be here for you each and every Friday. We may move some dates around depending on as the season rolls. It may be a better day to drop it, but we'll see as of now. Look for us on Fridays, man, and tune in with us every week. We appreciate y'all. We out.
Peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.